Well, it's countdown. The rocket ship is on the, well, it's out there on the tarmac, and it's smoking. Harold Camping's rocket ship is smoking in countdown. Today, it's May the 17th, a Tuesday night. Tomorrow, the 18th. Thursday, the 19th. Friday, the 20th. Then it's May 21st, 2011, Saturday. Harold Camping claims the return of Christ. Something is going to clearly go wrong, Houston. Harold Camping is off his rocker all the way, biblically, and in every other sense of the phrase. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is the Tuesday night. Well, May the 17th, no predictions today other than that we are going to give a human prediction. I don't know the day or the hour, but I'm going to predict humanly that it's not going to be the return of Christ on May the 21st. Interesting, late last night I'm listening to Coast as I'm going to sleep, and they bring up Harold Camping and May 21st, the billboards, and that the camping camp contacted Coast to Coast AM, wanted to put advertisements on, and listen, George Norrie wouldn't let him. Interesting. I think that's a good thing, George. I think that's a great thing. And I tell you what, as people are looking at all of this, there's some extreme reasons why we need to touch on this issue of May 21st and somebody predicting the return of Christ, giving the date, the day. Once again, if you're brand new, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast on a Tuesday night, May 17, 2011, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time till 7. We only have 1 hour, but what God can do in this hour is awesome. May God save. May God stretch out his hand in Jesus' name to heal and to deliver and to minister to every life listening, whether by satellite and welcome, Internet, welcome, and by archives, by the thousands and thousands of dear friends all around the world, welcome. May God engage you the moment you begin to listen, all the way through the end. May the hand of God be stretched out in Jesus' name. He wants to save you if you're lost. That's an unashamed joyful proclamation on my part. To know God, to know Christ, to know personally, to be in relationship. Now, the sad thing is Stephen Hawking doesn't believe that there is a God that is like a human being that you have a personal relationship with. All he's declaring is that he does not have it. He does not have the stature to be able to proclaim to billions of others that they cannot have a relationship with God, and that God does not exist. Now, there were more responses on the Facebook page to the post that I put about Stephen Hawking than just about anything else that we've ever put up, and it's continuing to grow. So we welcome you to Facebook. We welcome you to the website, Shatter the Darkness. We welcome you, yes, I believe, to the end of days. But how many days? 4 days away? I don't think so. As we begin to get in, let me give you a couple announcements real quick here. Yes, again, in response to Facebook engagement and emails, we are moving. We will have, hopefully in 30 days or so, the entire research center, broadcast center, all of our stuff, a new home, all that would be settled, and we'll be able to function a little, I think a lot better. So we look forward to that. I want to mention also, I was at the hospital today visiting Carl. Some of you have listened to Carl as I interviewed him. He was a younger man years ago in Vancouver, British Columbia. There he was drugged. He was sexually and ritualistically abused. Now, he was probably in his 20s, late 20s, and all this stuff occurred to him. Now, when I first met him, he was highly demonized. We had to do a lot of deliverance. We had to do a lot of work with him. Somebody had done something in a very, very extensive way as they orchestrated capturing him, using him, maybe even practicing some stuff on him. But Carl had gone through a lot. I interviewed him a year or so ago on the Ragged Edge live show, Wednesday nights late now. And we just a couple of weeks ago had Carl come back on, give a little update. We met a new friend, John, who has a great website up there, undercovervictoriabc.com, dealing with the underground of Victoria, British Columbia, which while some are declaring the satanic capital of the world, second only to Geneva, Switzerland. I don't know about that, but that's what I've read. That's what I've been told. Of course, a lot of activity in Victoria. From that area comes one of the first books, Michelle Remembers. We're engaged with, and now we've been given the number to contact the sister, so we're going to see what occurs there. But Carl is in the hospital. A little over a week ago, he was in comatose and had a trach in his throat and couldn't speak, we just sat there and talked to him and prayed. Today, Carl's looking at me. He can't speak. He's got the trach in his throat and on oxygen. And had everything to do with his lungs and then some type of maybe heart attack. But he's responding today. He's able to nod his head and talk today and prayed for him today. Spent some time. Told him to finish writing his book on the episode up there in Vancouver. By the way, for those in Vancouver, and every time I do this, I get emails from folks there. What's happening up there? Tell us about the Satanic Underground in Vancouver and Victoria, British Columbia. It looks like an incredible, beautiful place. Would love to come there. We have a friend, a couple of friends there now, and we've been invited. So we'd love to make it a REAP trip. Research, evangelism, exposure, and prayer. A REAP trip there to Victoria, British Columbia. Don't forget, please, coming up in July, Future Congress. Now, if you go to the website, shatterthedarkness.net, you will be able to scroll down a little ways and see where it says Future Congress. And right in the very beginning, somebody, I guess, has stated, I've seen it a couple times listed now, they're calling this the Woodstock of prophecy conferences, in parentheses. Of course, it's not going to be like Woodstock at all. They're just saying it's going to be big. Gary Stearman's going to be there. Chuck Missler's going to be there. Tom Horn's going to be there. And many others that many of you know, David Hitt, Terry James, Niederhorn, Chris Pinto, Noah Hutchings, Mike Tater, Doug Woodward, Jim Fletcher, Michael Bennett, and Rob Siepka, Sharon Gilbert, Derek Gilbert, Ray Gano, Doc Marquise, and Keith Robinson, many others. They've invited me to speak at a couple of the workshops, so I'm going to be there speaking on Saturday and Sunday. We're going to love to see you. I've noticed now that Brandt, Missouri, I didn't know a whole lot about it ahead of time, but it looks like an incredible place. We might even spend an extra couple days in the area just to kick around and take a look and maybe take a few days off and enjoy some things up there. This week, shatterthedarkness.net. On the website, the theme for the live broadcasts, random or not. Random episodes, events, chaos, and the crazy eruptions of the end of days. And what's up with May 21st? Well, we're going to go ahead and do a special broadcast. We're going to post it somewhere late in the evening. So if you look on the website, you'll go down, it'll say Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you'll see the subject matters for each day. Tonight, we're going to deal specifically with Harold Camping, date setting, a look at Matthew 24. We're going to look Wednesday night about the warnings that I've received lately. And they're not very heavy-duty warnings. I'm not taking them lightly, but they're not heavy duty. We've had much worse individuals showing up with weapons on our grounds before and different things in the past and blood and symbols and signs and dead animals and bones and feathers and sign, all the stuff, letters. So we've gotten all of this in the past. We've gotten phone messages before. And now it is subpersonalities. As a matter of fact, if you go on, and here's what I want to say. This is what's really bizarre about this time. You know, everybody's talking about the Harold Camping thing, the May 21st thing, and his proclamation of the date of the return of Christ. Of course, he's wrong, and how he calculates it, which we'll talk about, is wrong. But I received from a chosen one, an undergrounder, SRA. Now, this is including someone that has subpersonalities. They begin to say it this way: "Hi there, Russ. How are you? I have so many questions." Now, this person I've emailed back and said I want to talk to them more, but they haven't responded. But I know they're probably listening. So we want to engage and talk more, and even to the sub-persons inside, we'd love to talk to you also. But when we did our translation on the Latin, here's what it said. Quote, "We wanted to let you know that very many or all of the sleepers will awake." This is those who are sleeper assassins planted in every city in the United States, Canada, all across Europe. They're going to be woken up very early on May 21st. Some say this is the end of the world. Quote, now this is what they say. "There arises the gates of hell and opens the program or the programming that will enable many, many murderesses or assassins such as I am scheduled to destroy churches and many others in ministry. May already be off and sow discord between others and so forth." And here's what the end of it says. Quote, "You cannot help it. You are our next target." I also put up on the website a phone call that came in. We've got about five of them now. And it is a sub-personality, but demonized. And so I tell you to listen to it at your own discretion, discernment. And there's also a PDF file of a threat letter that is telling me to back away from a guy that we want to help out. We want to reach for Christ. We want to get them out of this dark night that they're in. Somebody's handling them, of course. Somebody's working on them, of course. So that's some of the update concerning that. We'll have a lot to say about that on Wednesday night. And then the late night show, much more. Probably some call-ins, things like that. So just to give you the heads up, let's jump into the show. We want to try to keep this broadcast with the news and the updates about 10, 11, 12 minutes into it to let you get the heads up and then right into the body of the message. By the way, if you're brand new, on the website, again, shatterthedarkness.net, there is a PDF file. It's simply the outline notes for all of the live show this week. Every week now, we put these PDF file notes up and try to give you something to have there before you and write down. And if you are listening by satellite, I just can only encourage you to maybe get it from somebody that does have ability for the website and get those. You don't have to have them. We just kind of go down the list. You can write notes down. And if you're a believer in Christ, welcome. Keep us in prayer. Pray during this hour. We ask God that he would do something extraordinary. You know, revival's able to strike, and we've read the history of revivals a number of times. We've been in a few where the power of God falls suddenly. You got to understand, that's what I'm after. Even in a radio project like this around the world, even when it comes to archives a week later, I've learned something. God can answer prayers even when they've been recorded and somebody listens a year later. It's the Elisha principle in the Old Testament when he prayed about another raising from the dead, but he died. But a soldier's thrown in there among his bones in the gravesite, and the power of an answered prayer, the resurrection of that man back to life. Now, that's the physics of God, the physics of miracles. That's the power of God. I don't have to know the details. I don't believe that I can. I don't worry about knowing the infinite infinitely. I can't, and you cannot. But I can experience, I can know that it's the hand of God. That's that anthropomorphic theological concept. The scripture gives it as the hand of God. Now, to me, that's personal. In the day that I got saved, I really believe the hand of God was involved because of the prayers of many in my wild, crazy, sin-packed, filled, oriented life. I think I had one foot in hell, in a sense. I'm speaking in a sense. And thank God for the intervention. Maybe you're listening right now. Doesn't matter. You know, listen, whatever the background, whatever the addiction, some of you even into drug addictions, may God, by the power and name of Jesus of Nazareth, deliver you now in his name. to his glory and for your good, yes. So pray that this hour would be a massive impact, hand of God, in the name of Jesus. That's what we want to see. If you're not saved, please listen. Come to Christ. Look at the great invitation in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. So to the Luciferian Illuminati types that listen to monitor, recon, do the rituals and all the other stuff, may the hand of God reach out to you, destroying everything demonic, engaging you like Saul of Tarsus to save you. Let me say to the political individuals, to InfoGuard, and to those at Recon, and let me say to the military men and women, blessings, and may God give great protection concerning the weaponization of the satanic agenda. Or vice versa, the satanic agenda's acquisition of military development. DARPA, watch out. Well, here we go into the body of the message. Point A on the notes anyway was I wanted to mention prior to saying anything else about the Herald Camping 21, you know, May 21st. This is a disgrace, really. It really is a spiritual disgrace. And that's why this week is called Random or Not, dealing with all kinds of crazy things and episodes and false Christ and earthquakes and all the different crazy things that are going on. It seems like the world is spinning out of control, as some people say. You can feel in the air, you can feel the dismantling, the destabilization. But here's something that's rock solid. I mean, absolutely, incredibly rock solid. You know what it is? It is the second coming of Christ. You can use the Greek words epiphany or apocalypse or parousia, all in reference to the coming of Christ, this unveiling, this event, this arrival. And it's associated with the harpezo, the catching up of the saints. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We believers who are alive will be caught up. The Latin rapture. I like the word harpezo better. Because that word, when you look up the definition, has this idea of a superior force quickly, with great force, superior force snatching you. So it's going to be by the exertion of the power of the Spirit of God. So if you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You have the gift of eternal life. And literally, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know about that? How many New Agers know about the Lamb's Book of Life? I wonder. Very precious. It speaks of the explicit, detailed, infinite knowing of God, of who are his and who are not. And let me also tell you this, because I don't think Harold Camping will tell you this. God is not willing that anyone perish to the very end of the end of the end of days, to the very end, to the ultimate end. So it's vital that we understand that this false prophecy and prediction and numerology, I mean, numerology may have been involved in the development of this calculation of May 21st. That's why it's so offbeat, so wrong, so bizarre. But I want to tell you prior to that, the greatest event in fallen human history is the coming of Christ. Now, again, whatever your background, I want you at least to hear this, because here's at least eight things that are involved. I had marked down four. I'm going to give you eight. No extra cost. Hey, by the way, no commercials, no 15 minutes of interruptions, and we're not selling products. But how do we do all of this, as some of you ask? Well, just go to the website, shadowthedarkness.net, and there's a support tab that explains that. Yes, we'd love for you to help. Yes, we need you to help. Yes, we need to broaden even the radio project. And so we simply say this: if you believe in the benefit of these broadcasts and of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of MP3s, training courses, materials going out to literally now hundreds of thousands, last year 2 million downloads, 90-some countries of the world. I know the effect. People who've gotten saved, people who've gotten blessed, delivered, helped, people who've shown up at conferences and had prayer for deliverance and got baptized, and so many dear friends, so many great things that God is doing. So if you simply believe in the benefit of this ministry and work, you have benefited, you want others to benefit, and you want to invest, well, we just say, take a look. If you're satellite only and don't have any other way, you can help out. Here's the address. P.O. Box 755, Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. That's all we need to say. Too much already anyway. The first thing we want to say, the greatest event in fallen human history, number one. This is the return of the King, the return of Christ. Now, this is all over the Old Testament. Both his first coming and the second coming is prophesied. I mean, listen, at least go to the book of Daniel and check that out. One of the most incredibly supernatural, prophetically oriented books in the Old Testament. It deals with the first and the second coming and the very a lot of details of the very end of days. Also, we find obviously throughout the entire New Testament, and the words of Jesus himself, comforting believers in him in John's Gospel 14. Yeah, he's going to go away. He's going to prepare a place. He's going to come back. He's going to get us to take us to be with him where he is. Now, this is big. You'd have to deny the entirety of the entire New Testament. You have to deny all of the New Testament, much of the Old, in denying Christ, denying his first and second coming. It's simply known, even by the saints that have died thousands and thousands of years ago, Elijah and Moses, Transfiguration, they were involved in the discussions of his departure. They know about it in heaven. Well, it's very clear that none of them knows the day or the hour. So I think Harold Camping must be the only one. Moses, Elijah, the angels of God, Michael the archangel, no one in heaven knows, but yet this little guy, Harold Camping, claims to know. The return of Christ is so big, so vast, so important to this. And I'm going to tell you right now that the political, the military, the economic destabilization, the embedding of Luciferic globalism into all those structures, the ideology, the spiritual critical mass that is building for this, this is all a part of an issue. You've got to understand, biblically revealed again, the end reasons why the coming of the Antichrist, the development of this globalism has an ultimate goal, and that is Armageddon. Armageddon is not about nations fighting each other. I challenge you to find that. I've seen that on movies and everything else. Armageddon has nothing to do with nations fighting each other. It has everything to do with a dark, the most supernatural release of demonic powers globally, a planetary release of powers of darkness that draws the entire fallen, Antichrist-committed world together there at the great day of God Almighty. You can read about it, Revelation 16, that points to Revelation 19:19. That is the end game. Weapons raised into the sky, the entire reason for Armageddon, to shoot Christ out of the skies, to destroy the descent of the Son of God. It means so many things. Number one, here's what it means. Number one, that the return of Christ is based on the first coming of Christ. The conception, the incarnation, the life, the words of Christ, unprecedented. Only Jesus can say what he said on the cross. To the thief, Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. The explosion, the extent of grace. In that final hour of a sin-based life, a man that cries out to Jesus as Lord, recognizes him as God on the cross, cries out to him, calls him Lord, Jesus says to him, see, he came from there, sinless, authority over all of creation, over all sin, over hell, over the demons, over everything. The angels of God bowed and worshipped him as God. the demons feared him, and they knew who he was, God, the Son of God. The second coming is based on the first. There is no second coming without the success of the first arrival of Emmanuel, predicted 700 years in advance in Isaiah. 1,000 years in advance out of Psalm 16 is the declaration that Christ would not decay. There would be a resurrection from the dead. See, Jesus, he's the only one that speaks these words. I am the resurrection and the life. Have you read the words? You ever see his life? This is why we're not going to point you to crystal skulls, tarot cards, and we're not going to point you to the next astrologer, to the psychics, or to the remote viewers. We're not going to point you to where there really is activity spiritually. There really is experience. There are really entities and energies and powers. Oh, yes. Oh, my. Coming from the dark side, metaskizmazitai, transfigured to look like something good. I mean, this is razor blades wrapped in bologna. You going to bite into it? Second coming of Christ is based on the first. The first involves the life, the words, the person, the cross. A Savior dying on a cross, and as literally predicted, a resurrection from the dead, blasting apart the finality of death. Do you understand why he came? I know New Agers don't understand, psychics don't understand, Gnostics don't understand. Mystics and others out there don't understand. Those embracing the New Age spirit of Antichrist, you don't understand. Jesus, who came, and what he did at that cross was to destroy the power of sin and its work, the power of death and its work, the power of Satan and his work, the power of that separation between us and God. To break down everything and open wide the gates to immediate personal relationship. Do you hear that, Stephen Hawking? Personal, intimate relationship to the God of the universe. God's even bigger than the universe, as big as the universe is. You got to understand that he's bigger than the universe, bigger than the planet, bigger than the Bible that he's given us, and that's massive. Do you know him? Do you know him, Christ? And then number two, there is the gathering of the believers. When we talk about the return of Christ, we are talking about the harpezo. We're talking about what occurs in the revelation of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That there's going to be this trumpet call. There's going to be a descent out of the heavens. You see, there's going to be that day that all of Scripture is pointed to. Every eye will see him. Those that are left on the earth in the visible return. See, there really is kind of a, there's parts, in a sense, to this return. In the descent. Now, there is the dead in Christ of all ages. They shall rise first. That is the great glorification. In the twinkling of an eye. This is the first resurrection. You don't want to be a part of the second. If you've ever read about the second death or the second resurrection, you do not want to be a part of that. You check it out as you study the end of the book of Revelation. This is the first resurrection. This is the one in the twinkling of an eye. This is 1 Corinthians 15. In the twinkling of an eye, Greek word atomic, flash. The exertion of the power of God in an unsplittable moment of time. Well, we who are mortal, those who were bodies anyway, there in the ground, will be united with their spirit as there is an instantaneous, and again, that concept of atomic. On an atomic level, an unsplittable moment of time, a flash, a twinkling of an eye. Listen, the mortal puts on immortality. We who are alive, if it occurs in our day, my opinion is that it will, but I don't know, will be caught up. Harpazo, the Latin use and everybody's familiar term, rapture. This catching up, which has the instantaneous glorification, the culmination of salvation, Christian. Believers in Christ, you have been saved. You are, by the Spirit of God, dynamically, hopefully, growing in sanctification. But that salvation includes as its ultimate end goal, glorification, which involves done by the hand of God at the return of Christ, seeing him face to face. You ever read about it? 2 Thessalonians 2? Listen, go to chapter 1. In that day, all of us who are believers will be astounded, emotionally overwhelmed. We will sit there absolutely in awe. We'll be struck by the sight of him in these new glorified bodies, ultimately seeing God face to face. So the second coming has everything to do with hundreds of millions and hundreds of millions worldwide, Russia, China, wherever else in all the world, every tribe, that's what the Bible predicts, every tribe, every language, every people group, in all the world, the gospel will have gotten there. But in this coming of Christ, in this part of the catching up of the saint, the dead in Christ rising, that first resurrection, you know why that's got to occur first? Well, you read Revelation 19, 14, 11 through 14, and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit of God, that's a prediction that you are already depicted in. You will already be glorified in those white redemptive clothes, descending behind the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it's all about the gathering and glorification of all believers of all times. And I hope right now you are a believer in Christ. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's not willing that even one individual would lose their soul. That's point number two, the gathering of all believers, the glorification. That's considered the first resurrection. Now, listen, number three, the visible. This is what the beginning of the book of Revelation, quoting Daniel, the prophet Daniel, the book of Daniel, that those left on the earth at that time, when it comes to the breaking in the apocalypse, the unveiling, the visible sight of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords descending out of the skies. Astounding. It is truly, out of all the other things that will occur beyond Armageddon, beyond the abyss, beyond the Antichrist in the temple, beyond all of it, it is the return of the King of Heaven. He who died on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He who died there for the sum total of humanity, for you, whether you reject him or accept him, his death and his blood was shed for you. What do you have? What else do you have? If you don't have God doing it for you, God providing forgiveness, new life, the gift of indestructible immortality, what do you have? You don't want to cling to what the finite fallen spirits have masqueraded as bits and pieces of... You don't want the cubic zirconium. You want the diamond. You want the real thing. The visible return of Christ. It is predicted 2,600 years ago that every eye shall see him. And those, listen, it's a reference to those on the earth who've taken the mark of the beast and worshiped the image. Those who have gathered together as warriors, as super soldiers, as transgenics pushes people that way, and as the transmutated, backbred, bloodlined, committed soldiers of the Antichrist. Listen, that's what it's all about. He's got to have them. He's got to have the most powerful technology in human history. You got to understand this, military friends. You've got to understand this, DOD. It's all about getting the kind of weapons that would be considered, in human terms, planetary defense weapon systems. aimed in the sky. What for? Not an asteroid. Not a comet. Not the Pleiadians. Christ. Read this. Take a look at it. Ponder it. Revelation 19:19. The Theron, Antichrist, has reached his goal. He is led out of the field by a supernatural wave, worldwide, planetary. It's depicted in Revelation 16. Haven't we seen this? Don't we understand this? What's coming? If you think the spiritual contrast and manifestation of the dark side is big now, we haven't seen. This is a scratching of the surface of hell's gates wide open. Comes the chaos, comes the Antichrist, comes the false prophet, and the Theron system. That's why Jesus referred to these days coming as days unprecedented in all of history. You can't look over your shoulder and say, oh, it's going to be like those days. If you look back at Nazi Germany, that's but a scratch in comparison to the demonic level of manifestation, Satan's counterfeit incarnation in Homo Satanus, the system, the power, the manifestation. Do you understand? Now, until the restrainer is removed, they will not unleash the hellish chaos, the Black Awakening, as undergrounders have called it. But I guarantee you, they have worked on it, labored on it. Behind all of these prophecies are the historic developments leading to the fulfillment. So point number three is the visible return of Christ, the descent. Revelation 19 is the four great hallelujahs to God. Look at the reasons why. And then the descent of the King. King of kings, Lord of lords. No one's going to stop him. Why is he going to make war? He's going to make war on who? Well, who's left? On the earth at that moment in time, only those who've embraced and delighted in radical evil and the Antichrist, marked with the mark of the beast, deeply worshipped the image. There they are, ready to be joined in their ultimate deception to try to kill God. That's what's left on the earth. That's what Armageddon's all about. That's where everything's moving. That's what globalism is all about. That's what the masqueraded, fix the environment, bring unification to the world, bring a world teacher in, bring one world order, bring it all in. Why? Satan needs a platform so big, so wide, because he knows his time is short. The second coming of Christ is known throughout hell itself, and they're working to prevent it. And all the scoffers and all the laughers and all of the, no one's going to stop. As no one stopped the first coming of God in human flesh and his arrival at the cross, death, resurrection, ascension, glorification, the second coming is the big event. Why not now? There's only one reason listed in biblical prophecy. Can I say it again? Only one reason. Harold Camping missed this. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, the only reason for the seeming delay is the salvation of lives. God's not concerned about the least number. He wants the most. Not willing that even one should perish, the seeming delay on human terms is nothing more than the grace of God extended to more and more and more. Today is the grace of God. That's the proclamation. Today, God is withholding it all, withholding the return of the Son of God for the sake of your salvation. Nobody loves you more. Nobody knows you more. Nobody wants you more than God. And look what he's done to provide for it. Get out of the counterfeit. Get out of the empty, angry atheism. You don't have anything. Dead, dry, bitter. All the while, God waits for you to put down the angry bitterness and turn your heart towards heaven. and say, God, I want to come home. I accept Christ as Lord and Savior and God and King and all that he's done on the cross. I receive Jesus. I call on Jesus Christ to save me, deliver me, come into my life, give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. God summons you now. Do it now. Come to Christ. Point four, if you understand the ultimate visible return of Christ, the end of all evil, Revelation 19:90, the end of it. This is where the Antichrist is stripped, annihilated, and the false prophet, and the entire Theron, all of those who have sunk their trillions of dollars into the development of globalism, Luciferic globalism, the spiritual enablement for globalism, all of you who've given, you've been betrayed already. You're being betrayed along the way. You're going to be used in betrayal like Judas was the first time. You don't want to be a Judas standing there on the ground, looking up into space, aiming weapons, raging with hell's furious, insatiable lust. You don't want to be there. You want to be behind the living Christ, clothed in white, descending. You don't want to be on the ground. But if you do not have the Spirit of God in you, the living Christ in you, you're lost. You're cut off. Your sin is on your head. Satan does have rights to you. And hell has its rights, per se. It's the end of evil. The second coming of Christ involves the end of this radical evil, the end of all this craziness, the end of the rape and the murder and the war and the political hypocrisies and lies and betrayal and all of the economic threat. It's the end of this. Christ comes, point number five, to bring the millennium, a 1,000-year reign. Not a whole lot in Scripture spoken other than the lamb will lie down with the lion. The age will be 1,000 years without one war. That's never happened in the fallen human history that we've lived in. No more war. 1,000 years of peace. New Agers are being handed a counterfeit hope. Everybody knows we want peace. No more war. The Prince of Peace. That's why the title is given to God, to Christ. 700 years before he came the first time, he is called the Prince of Peace. He is called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor. He is called the Prince of Peace. He ends radical evil. He, point five, initiates the great millennium. Point six, new heaven, new earth, all the environmentalists should understand. It's going to take infinite hands. It's his creation. It's God's creation. What he created, what we have allowed to be corrupted. Those who have raped the earth, it talks about in the book of Revelation, will be destroyed. And a new heaven and a new earth comes by the hand of God. I hope Oprah has walked away from Eckhart Tolle and thrown that book, guided by the Spirit of Antichrist, to the ground. Point seven, it's all about the gift of eternal, omnion zoe, eternal life. Zoe, the qualitative life that comes from heaven. It's all about indestructible, irreversible immortality. Man, I feel pressured to write a book on that issue. I want to squeeze out every ounce of biblical revelation concerning indestructible, irreversible immortality. That's point seven, eternal life. No more dying. Death is destroyed. And point eight, this is it for me. This is it for me. Who dwells in me right now, the Spirit of God deposited in me, guaranteeing this, what is to come. Or the return, yes. The glorification, yes. But it includes what I'm about to say. Seeing God face to face. You ever read about it in Revelation 20:21? Go ahead and read those last two chapters. If you're a believer, it's hard to imagine seeing God face to face. But the Spirit of God has given us the picture. It's future. Your future is pretty awesome. And this is the God that cares for you today. Let me stop right here and mention some things here with 15 minutes. Why Harold Camping is wrong and the end of the world the return of Christ. And I'm not going to say the day of the hour. I don't know the day of the hour. But I can tell you based on the calculation, based on the way Harold Camping has done things, not possible. I mean, this is the same guy that proclaimed the Lord's return would occur in 1994. Wrong. He was wrong then. Now he's proclaiming it. There's billboards, there's radio broadcasts, and listen, if you do some study and look into the background of Harold Camping, you can look into the background and see that a lot of his interpretation out of Daniel, out of the book of Revelation, is allegorical. It is just any way he wants to unleash scripture and say the meaning. You can read about how he does this when he shares things like, I believe that he doesn't even proclaim the deity of Christ. He doesn't believe that anybody today can be saved, born again of the Spirit of God, that we shouldn't be out doing it. That, of course, all other churches except for his, and that's a clear sign of a cult, is apostate and wrong. Only he and what he has to say is correct. Pretty amazing. He does proclaim out of Revelation 12 that a third of the stars, that is the angels that were taken by Satan, he says that's believers. He's got some bizarre beliefs all across the board. All across the board. Now, I don't know if you understand that he also declares that in Revelation 12 that Michael, the archangel, is the Lord Jesus. Where does it say that? Once again, you've got blatant off-scriptural terms. Now, here's part of the problem. That's why I was listening last night late, coast to coast. George Norrie was on. Millions and millions of listeners, of course. And he brings up the Harold Camping issue, the May 21st. He's asking the audience. People are calling in about it. And he also played a clip, but he wouldn't allow them to buy time on the radio station. And so once I started looking over all the doctrinal issues and things, and that, you know, there's even you can research this by Jason Wallace. Simply, he calls it Harold Camping's Kingdom Hall and associates his teachings with Jehovah Witnesses, that they're almost absolutely the same. And the declaration of how he got this. Well, listen, I'm going to look at another place here. This is Prophecy Proof Insights blog, and I appreciate what they've done here in this one little segment. Here's what they say, and how Harold Camping reached the conclusion that Christ is going to return on May 21st, 2011. Now listen to this. This is bizarre. I'm going to read this right off of the report. Quoting, Christ hung on the cross April 1st, 33 A.D., now go to April 1st, 2011, and that's 1,978 years. Harold Camping then multiplied 1,978 years by 365.2422 days, the number of days in each solar year, not to be confused with the calendar year. Next, Camping noted that April 1st to May 21st encompasses 51 days. Add 51 to the sum total of the previous multiplication total, and it equals 722,500. Harold Camping realized that 5 times 10 times 17 times 5 times 7 times 17 equals 722,500. Or to put it into other words, atonement times completion times heaven squared. 5 times 10 times 17 is telling you a story, Camping said. It's the story from the time Christ made payment for your sins until you're completely saved. This, in my estimation, is like numerology, the calculation of numbers. Now, when I read this complex way in which he tries to bring out the exact date and time, tells me a couple of things. Number one, he has already left the revelation of God in Matthew 24. You ever read this in Matthew 24? You know, where in verse 25, Jesus says about the end of days, the end of the age, see, I have told you ahead of time. Now, it's all about the events. It begins by saying Jesus left the temple, was walking away when his disciples came up to him, calling his attention to the buildings. Jesus says, you see all these things, he said? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. They wanted to know about the times, the end of days. When will these things happen? Here's the question in verse 3. What's the signs of your coming and the end of the age? Not the date. You'll notice in Matthew 24, Jesus isn't sitting down with a multiplication, calculator, telling them to get out and calculate the dates, the numbers, to put all these kind of bizarre numbers together and calculate in certain ways. It's kind of like how they came up with Henry Kissinger in the 70s, calculating in a numerical way, that his name calculated 666. Henry Kissinger is not the Antichrist. Harold Camp has given false biblical witness, false prophecy, and used extra-biblical means to try to come up with his view. The reason I say that the moment someone says Jesus is returning on such and such date and certain date, the moment that May 21st, 2011 was declared, everybody should have walked away from Harold Camping, told him to come to his senses. Astoundingly, there are those that believe him, listen to him. If you notice again, Jesus Christ, bigger than Harold Camping, describing his own return, the end of days, all the things included, nothing about the day or the hour except that no one knows the day or the hour. We're not to know it by the day and the hour. We're to know it by the signs. We're to know it by the signs that will occur. As a matter of fact, as you go through Matthew 24, and I really, listen, if you want to know more than Nostradamus, which is ultimately false, Edgar Cayce, Sylvia Brown, remote viewers, and the Mayan calendars and the rest, then you need to do a study, and everyone can, whether you're 15 years old or 85 years old. Matthew's Gospel chapter 24, reading it, it's going to be very clear. It's all about signs. It's all about a multiplicity of things. It's all about these signs. And then Jesus says, verse 32, now learn a lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. They understood this. They'd seen this again and again and again. I'm looking out massive windows out of a sunroom where I've got a temporary setup for this broadcast. I'm looking at trees and everything else that have all the buds on it. All the rains that have been here, we've got, the middle of May, and we've got all these trees budding, and the buds are breaking out now to the actual leaves. Now, when I look out here and see this to my right, and I've done this for 4 years at the sunroom, sitting here looking out, I can look out here and see what that's telling me. Summer is near. All of these things I can begin to see in the very beginning of the nubs. Then I begin to see them green. Then I begin to see them open up. Then I begin to see them unleash a leaf. It's all about summer is near. He's giving a very simple thing. Now, Jesus gives this example. Don't read into it. Harold Camping tells us there's hidden meaning in the text. That's a lie. There's no hidden meaning in the plain and simple way. Look how Jesus quoted Scripture. Look how Jesus used Scripture. Not with hidden meanings in the sense of Harold Camping, so that it can be allegorical interpretation. That it turns out that, the fig tree really is, and turn it into something that the context and the Scripture doesn't permit. He's giving them a lesson. Just simply as you look out there and those trees begin to bud, You know that summer is coming. You know this. Verse 33, very clear. Here it goes. Even so, when you see, now this is very important, all these things, he just, and now we got him in verses, he just went over 31 verses. As you read verses 1 to 31, you go over the catastrophic issues, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, the spiritual deception, false Christs, that all the things that are there collectively, not just one or two of them. Notice verse 33 stresses. Even so, when you see all of these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. That's as far as Jesus went. You know that it's near, right at the door. Near. When you see all of those things listed, all of them on a global scale, because that's what it has to be, a global scale, all those events. Verse 34, Jesus goes on to say, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things, once again, the stress Jesus gives, all the things, all the things. Very important for Harold Campin, Campinites everywhere to understand. Verse 35, Jesus Christ says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Without numerology, without crazy bending of texts, allegorical readings, hidden meanings, private interpretations, all the money that was given for the billboards and the radio, all the harangue for nothing, absolutely nothing. What's going to happen is the world's going to look at it and once again see that, like Jehovah Witness prophecies in the past, like Harold Camping's prophecy in 1994, it doesn't occur. And so that creates scoffers, that creates journalists and others that are going to say, look again, because they don't understand the difference between real biblical, systematically biblical Christianity and weird offshoot false prophecy, crazy stuff like this. So again, I point you in the last 3 minutes of this show, Matthew 24, the living Christ. Do you know him? I mean, there's so many other things that Harold Camping does about people not being able to be saved. All these other things he adds in that people don't even know about. I guess the more you now read about him, go to his site, look what everybody else is saying, you're going to realize, wow, this man has gotten so far off the track. He won't listen to anybody. It's amazing to me that anybody listens to him. Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and earth, Matthew 24, he said the words, see, I've told you already ahead of time. No one knows the date or the hour, but we can look at the signs, all of them. This is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net. We love you. Good night.